Thank you so much for inviting me to the holy Dham of Vrindavan. I am not a robot. And all the people out in transcendental radio land, I'm also glad you're listening. Actually, I did the same thing in Mayapur. I was staying in Vamsi Bhavan, which was right behind the Pandal. So the first night I went, second night I went, Prabhupada's disappearance. But the third night I could hear everything perfectly from the porch. So I didn't go, I listened like on the radio, human radio. Radhanath Maharaj said, where were you, Gurudas? And I said, I heard every word. I was on the porch, but I didn't have to put a dhoti on. I didn't have to sit and look pious on the stage. I could just listen to the human radio. And I said, I heard every word. You even talked about mosquitoes. So I shall tell a mosquito story, even though it's not in the chronological order. In Calcutta, Albert Road Temple was right across from a pukur, a bathing ghat. So sometimes there were mosquitoes. So I go in to see Srila Prabhupada, not for any purpose, just to be with him, or maybe there was a purpose, but I just liked to be with Prabhupada, and he never said I shouldn't come. So I go in, and I bow down, and Prabhupada's sitting on the floor. He's not on the Vyasasan, on his asana. He's on the floor. He says, I have fooled them. I said, who have you fooled, Srila Prabhupada? The mosquitoes. They rise. So I'm sitting on the floor. I was like a little child before Prabhupada. And like I said last night, I asked sometimes outrageous questions like, can we wear Lord Nrisimha masks on Harinam? So this time I asked, Srila Prabhupada, are there mosquitoes in Krishna Loka? He said, yes, but they don't bite, they sing. So you see, that's Krishna Loka. Everything is the alternative, the positive alternative to material life. So yesterday we were talking about how nice it is to be with the Swami in San Francisco. And then he asked us to go to London. And he actually encouraged us in Montreal. He encouraged us. And then, as I said yesterday, we only had $1,000. We each used the same $1,000 to get into England. And then we were in the suburbs, and a few people were coming, but it was way outside of London. And we said, we want to have something inside London, closer. And so there was an underground newspaper for young people. And we met the editors, and they asked if we could write some articles. So Jamuna did a cover in Sanskrit, Hare Krishna Mantra, and I did the Prahlad story. Gursundar and Govinda Dasi's paintings with text. And slowly people, even young people, were coming out, even though it was an hour's ride. The person we were renting from didn't want to continue giving us the place for free, so we had to split up for a while. Two of us lived in Clapham. Jamuna and I lived in a place called Brixton. I don't know if anybody's here from England, but Brixton is a Caribbean, Jamaican, African area that plays music all night. So our goal was to get a temple, get a place all together. And a person, a friend, I made a friend in the underground newspaper, Graham Keane, and he told me, he was a photographer, he told me that there's a very wealthy man, young man, who might give you the warehouse where they keep the magazines, the newspapers. So we went there and his big penthouse, and he said, yes, I will give you two floors of this warehouse. And as I said yesterday, on the top floor was the England branch of the Black Muslims. And so here we were, Black Muslims, Hare Krishna, in one building. And so one floor we made as a temple room, and one floor we made as a sleeping quarters with partitions. So Jamuna and I and Janaki and Mukunda, Samish and Malati. Malati slept downstairs in a box with Saraswati. I was saying that yesterday, and no hot water. But, you know, I think every devotee has done some austerities for Krishna. I know most of the early people had to do the same thing as we did. Find a place, live simply, by hook or crook in Krishna's grace get some money, and slowly you plant seeds. And so all of us have given a lot for Krishna, and all of us have seen how Krishna flowers in our heart and then flowers in the world. So we're used to tapas here, but you don't want to have unneeded tapas here. And I'll tell you the story. I was sitting in a temple, and Prabhupada walked by, morning walk. I always wanted to be on the morning walks with Prabhupada because he would talk about nature. He would look at the ocean and say, there are more demigods than waves in the ocean. So I'm running after him, and there's barnacles on the ground, and he looks and says, where are your shoes? Where are your shoes? When I'm with you, Prabhupada, I don't feel any pain. So he said, teasingly, then why don't you cut your throat? He said, there's enough tapas in the world that you don't have to put any more on yourself. So go wear your shoes. Except in the Holy Dham. Perhaps you don't wear your shoes, but you see, everything has time, place, and circumstance also. It may be valid one place, and then the next place you put on a chadar, next place you take off your chadar, it's hot, cold. So now we were in the center of London, and right around the corner was a big place for young people. It was called the Arts Laboratory. And they did events there, many events. And so we said we'd like to chant there. So we were chanting Wednesday evenings. And we also used their facility to make a demo recording of Hare Krishna Mantra and a demo recording of Govindam, because we were thinking that someday we might meet the Beatles and then we'll present it to them, because that was our plan. But how are you going to meet the Beatles? Okay, so we sent them the underground newspaper. Nothing. We sent them the picture of New York devotees. Come sing with us. Nothing. We sent them the Sanskrit cover. Nothing. We found out this man, Peter Asher, was their artist and repertoire man. He was throwing all our things in the rubbish bin. People didn't want us to have access. Meanwhile, this contingent from California comes, as I was mentioning yesterday, two Hells Angel motorcycle bikers, tough, very tough. Two women with hidden weapons. It was before this terrorist 9/11 stuff, so they were able to have brass knuckles, and I saw them fall out of their pocketbook. I didn't take an inventory, but I saw there was weapons. The Hells Angels fell asleep, and so like the Pandavas, we could have divested them of the weapons and put them in a tree. But, because we fed them sumptuous Jamuna Malati Prashadam, along with jet lag, they fell asleep. And the managers of the Grateful Dead band, Rock Scully, was with them, and he roomed with Sam Ashunda at Reed College. So he fell asleep. And the women fell asleep. The only one that stayed awake was my old friend Ken Kesey, who I knew from San Francisco, and he was very happy to see me, even though I was in a different persona. I could have gone on his Merry Prankster bus. He invited me, but I didn't go. And like I said last night, what do you need a guru for? He was a real rebel. He was a rebel. There were two schools of psychedelia. Timothy Leary was a scientist, and he wanted to have controlled settings where you would mimic psychoses with this, and then with guidance, you can use that as a tool. Ken Kesey just wanted to take it in the park and play music. It was like West Coast, East Coast style. So Ken Kesey was very happy to see me, but he said, what do you need a guru for? And so as I said last night, I gave the example of the doctor. You want a doctor that knows something, that read books, that has experience. And he accepted it, and he said, as I said last night, your guru is the heaviest, which is a compliment. So we still wanted to meet the Beatles, and the Hells Angels, what they did was usually break things, trash things. They did. So they thought, well, of all the trashdom that we could do, let's trash the Apple offices, you know? We've trashed hotels, we've trashed concerts. Altamont was a famous one. They even killed somebody. And as I said last night, we started them off as security, and then it decayed. So we wanted to meet the Beatles. we didn't hear any word that Hell's Angels were going to break the Beatles' office. At the very same day, Rock Scully told Sam Ashinda that I'm going to go to the Beatle offices. So Sam Ashinda said, can I come along? So Rock said, sure. And then there's something where he had to sneak by the car of Yoko Ono. I'm not sure if it was that time, but Yoko Ono was laughing at him because he was sneaking behind her car. And he got in, but I'm not sure if it was that time, but so there was a room full of people. A room full of people. And the Hell's Angels were getting ready to trash the offices. Well, John Lennon pokes his head in the room and sees about this many people, including the Hell's Angels. He leaves. Ringo pops his head. He leaves. Paul McCartney looks in. He leaves. George pops his head in and sees Sam Ashinda. And he goes right across the room and said, I've been looking for you. And Sam Ashinda said, we've been looking for you. Now, we had these demo recordings, and almost simultaneously, like the next day, we met Chris O'Dell, George's secretary. So we said we would like to present these demo recordings, just on a tape recorder, not professional, to George. And she said, I'll do it. And then we baked an apple pie with Hare Krishna on it. And we said, please don't eat it, Chris. Give it to George. And she said, I will. Because we found an apple that walks on one of our All Souls Church. And we put the Hare Krishna mantra on it and sent it. But he threw it in the rubbish bin. But now, George wanted to hear these demo tapes. He wanted to hear these demo tapes, and he said, I would like to visit you. So he said, how about the day after tomorrow? And we said, yes. So we cleaned our two floors of the temple. Somehow or other, I got the black Muslims to leave. And George came in denim, Levi jeans, blue jeans and a denim shirt in a big Rolls Royce. And he came up and we gave him a sumptuous feast and lassis. He really liked lassis too. And we were taken with him because he was just a down-to-earth, regular person. He came from simple background, and he became very rich, very famous, yet he didn't put on any ears. And Prithu and I were talking about how he was just a very nice man. And after we chanted, we had prasadam, we talked over things, and we gave him this tape of Govindam. And then George and I walked together to wash our hands. And so Chanaka Pandit says, if you walk seven steps together, you're friends for life. And he said, this is lovely. This is just lovely. He felt like he was in a transcendental atmosphere, and it was different than the usual things he was doing. Music and parties and lots of people saying you're great. And so he said, would you come to my house and we'll have more kirtan? And it was a suburban house in Sussex. And we said, yes. And it was just a regular house, lots of instruments, musical instruments, and Patty was there. There's a picture of Prabhupada, and there was a picture of some Sri Yukteswar, another guru. And there was a lot of things. There was even a painting of dogs playing cards. I don't know if you've ever seen that painting, but there's dogs dressed up as people playing cards. So it was eclectic. And Billy Preston was there. And Billy Preston played the electric organ. And George played the electric guitar, and I don't know how the roof stayed on that house, and I think there's a recording of it someplace, but we had a rousing kirtan. And you could see George loved to chant, and he told me he and John chanted for 3 days before he even met us. And he said, I will make arrangements for you to record, and I will produce it. So not only did we meet one of the Beatles, but we also were going to get help recording. Now, in London, as I said last night, was following San Francisco's spirit. They were looking for things, they were searching, and all communities, the Londoners were interested, they were coming. We met the ambassador, Apu Pant. Now I just found out 3 days ago that Apu Pant was instrumental in getting the Dalai Lama out of Tibet. He was the ambassador to Tibet, to Lhasa at the time, but now he was in London, and we were friends. And so the Indian community was coming, the English community was coming, and the young people were coming. Now there were 3 new brahmacharis, Tirthapada, Digvijaya, and Kulashekar. And then another one, Jimmy Duty. He never got initiated, but he did a lot of service. And Jimmy Duty's brother, he was about 14. He was just coming along like a puppy dog. He didn't know what he was doing there. And you know, Jimmy would say, well, go ask Gurudas, but he couldn't get the Sanskrit names. So go ask Sammy Shunda. So he would say, Sammy Shu, I want to know this. And he'd say, Gugu? So there was some budding young people and more people coming because we were chanting at the Arts Laboratory. So now George said, okay, I would like to record, and we went to a studio. And George produced it so expertly. He put the music on. Now, we did Hare Krishna mantra first. So, as you know, Jamuna was the lead. And so there was only 4 people, essentially, in the chorus. So what George did is he went to everybody in the Apple offices and taught them the Maha Mantra. The secretaries, the people who cleaned the floors, the accountant, Derek Taylor, everybody, he rounded up And they became our first chorus for the Hare Krishna mantra. The second one, we four or five of us were the chorus, he recorded 5, 10, 20, 40. And so it was like a first-class chorus. He told Jamuna that, if you want, I will make you a rock star. You have such a wonderful voice, I'll make you a rock star. Jamuna wasn't interested. She was already in a band one time in San Francisco. She was delving deep into spiritual life. And people tell us that when they saw Jamuna and I, we were always talking about Prabhupada, how we can please Prabhupada, how we can do this. So she wasn't interested in becoming a rock star. She was also made GBC one time. She told me, I'm not interested in being GBC, I just want to cook and do deity worship, things like that. I don't like politics. That Hare Krishna mantra reached the Iron Curtain. It was number 9. It's unheard of. It's unheard of for a new single of unknown artists with Sanskrit names. Eccentric people living this, and it became number 9. And number 3 in one of the Eastern Europe, I think it was the Czechoslovakia at the time. And I'm not surprised because I went there about 2 months ago and they're chanting all over and being received, and even old women. It's on my Facebook page. Old women joined. They all were enlivened by the Maha Mantra. So we started to go on programs all over the United Kingdom. All over the United Kingdom. And if it was a nightclub, I wouldn't let brahmacharis come. Because sometimes we'd be out late at night, and one club in Germany, Kiel, I think, everybody was on the floor, it was dark. They were just comatose. They weren't even sitting up. So we jumped down into the audience and got them up and put the lights on, and it was like we lifted a rock and a bunch of insects were like scurrying around. So each one had a flavor, but we used to go to all these events that George and the Apple Records and Derek Taylor would plan for us. And we were making money. We had contracts, and Red Door Agency, I was doing the agency stuff. They rented a tent for us at a big music festival. And our tent was right near all the vendors, all the people who sold things. So we're chanting Hare Krishna, and the vendor says, nobody's coming and buying anything. If I give you a donation, will you chant over there? Might. So we said, sure. He gives a donation, so we chant over there. It's another vendor. He says, nobody's coming. If we give you a donation, will you chant over there? We said, sure. We went all around the vendors, and Krishna gave us a lot of Lakshmi that night. Yeah, please chant over there. So, And again, George just wanted to help. And we said, we're going to give to George. Just like Prabhupada did it later on in India here. Mr. Birla is very rich, but we want to just give to him. So we told the devotees, first of all, don't treat George like a demigod. He's just a person, and he's enough people who are yes man toadies. Yes, you're great. Yes, you're great. Yes, you're great. Just treat him. And in fact, basically, Samashinda Mukunda, myself, Jamuna, dealt with George. And even though we said to one devotee, the devotees, don't treat him like a demigod, this is why we said it, because at someplace, I don't know where it was, but John and George, they were practicing. Ringo, Paul, they were practicing, and a devotee crawled up on the roof and was looking in on the skylight. Oh, there's George. And the skylight broke. And he fell down with his dhoti caught in the skylight, so he's in his Brahmin underwear. Didn't get hurt. So he falls at the feet of George, and instead of, he pays his obeisances. And John is going, boom, 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 boom. One of yours, George? Boom, 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 boom. Oh, one of yours, George. Another time, one of the devotees paid their obeisances in a puddle. It's George. Even Sir Walter Raleigh put his cloak over the puddle. So, and we went to the Reprobon. The Reprobon, the red light district in Hamburg. And we played at the club that George, the Beatles played at, the Star Club. That's where they got their chops. That's where they learned music. They did 3 shows a day and night. And they were practicing all their material. But it was right in the middle of the red light district. And when we were riding there, you know, we had to close our eyes. And we're there. And not only that, the man Gunther didn't pay us. So Mukunda and I go to chase him. We find his address. And we go up the stairs and we knock on the door, and the door opens halfway, and there's a half-naked woman there. And we see Gunther with a shotgun in the crack of the door. I didn't know whether the shotgun or the woman was worse. So we scampered down the stairs and we let the agents handle it. We finally did get the money. And then it was so popular that now we'll make Govinda. And Mukunda made an arrangement. It was just a simple tape recording. And that beautiful introduction that you have in your telephone, George did that, those notes. George he played it on the electric guitar, but we were on television a lot. We were in the middle of the woods, and the electric guitar is playing, and they're doing this film like, you know, this is forest and woodsy, electric instrument. We went on the top of the Pops. At that time, there was only 2, maybe 3 stations, ITV and BBC. And this Top of the Pops was the most popular music show, and so everybody listened to it, even old people. It was because there were 2 radio stations, you only had 2 choices. So there was one guy talking about tsetse flies, and the other was a music show. So, yeah. And George said, I'm so glad I saw you on the telly. It was like we were his pet project. He said, oh, I was so happy. It was like if you're a musician and you hear your own thing on the radio, you stop the car, he said, wow. He was that much for us. So we're on the Top of the Pops, and I bring slides to show. And it was synchronized. We didn't actually do it live. We had to do like that. So, the director, he wanted to, at that time there was this craze called go-go. Go-go, where women would be in these cages. Yeah, if this isn't chauvinistic anything, women were put in cages and they would gyrate. So we're getting ready. They take the dry ice out. I said, no dry ice. We already did that dry ice thing with Prabhupada in Amsterdam. We don't have to look mystical. No dry ice. They do it to make it look mystical. In Amsterdam, we were in the television studio. Prabhupada said, it was all underground. He said, there will be in the future some people who will never see the sun. He told us that. They'll be underground. So we're getting ready, and they're getting in their cages, and they're warming up, and I said, uh-uh. I said, no. They can't do that. We're a spiritual group. And I was president of the temple. So he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, we're not going to do it. And I said to everybody, let's go. It was a live show. It wasn't taped. What is he going to do with 4 minutes of empty time? He's pulling his hair out. I said, why not teach them the Swami step? The trance dance. I said, let's go and find some cloth. So we found cloth and we made saris for them. We cut it up. The girls showed them. The dancers loved it because they didn't have to gyrate all the time. They could just, like sheets of wheat in the wind. And it became so popular all over, and when Prabhupada heard it, he cried and said we should play this in every temple, every morning, and some phones. Meanwhile, we're still trying to get a temple. We're still trying to get a temple, but we're getting very popular. And as I said last night, we found this morgue in East London. It was full of ghosts. So there was this friend of Allen Ginsberg. He was a member of parliament. And it's very hard to get to see him. He was in the House of Commons. But somehow or other, we heard that he was in the hospital with an eye, getting an eye exam. So we all went to the hospital. We all went to the hospital. And we go over, well, not all of us. Jamuna, Samish, and Mukunda, myself, maybe Malati, whoever. But not 5-6 people. Jamuna goes over. Mr. Dreeberg, we've been wanting to meet you all this time. We're so happy to meet you. Here's some books and some things you can listen to with your eye exam. This man starts shaking. He's shaking. The needle's going, me, me, me. It starts to become flat. The nurses are running in. They're reviving this guy. He's turning colors. Across the room, we hear a very clipped English voice say, I'm Mr. Dreeberg. He was in the other side of the room. They're reviving this guy. So we go. Jamuna says, Mr. Jeeber, we've been wanting to meet you. So glad. Here's some tapes. We do the same thing. He became a very good friend. He wrote letters on our behalf. And because it's a preaching tool, I'll recount the story that I did yesterday. And I hope you people in Transcendental Radio Land will relish this again. So we had this temple. Shamashinda was building it. He's such a visionary that he bought a whole shipload of redwood, hoping we would find a temple that he could build. So he and Tirthapada were building it, and we all lived on John Lennon's estate. George arranged it. Because now there's 25, 30 devotees. So we're all living on John Lennon's estate. And Shamashinda is building the temple. Well, Prabhupada came and lived there too. And one morning, we were walking on the wet grass, and I saw a worm going right for Prabhupada's shoes, feet, lotus feet. So I said, this is a life. This is a living entity. I should say something to Prabhupada. But yet, who am I? I'm not the controller. And not only that, the worm might be liberated like someone falling under the juggernaut wheels of the car. But then I said, but it's a living entity. And I was about to say something to Prabhupada, and then the worm went there and the foot went there. And then I saw the worm go on and Prabhupada go on. And I looked down and our feet were in the wet grass. I didn't see any footprints of Prabhupada. And then one morning, he said, I came in, he said, Gurudas, I've been thinking of you. Therefore, you shall live long. And then there was a butterfly in the room, and he jumped, Prabhupada went like this, and the butterfly jumped on his finger. And Prabhupada didn't change his expression. The butterfly flew off. I wanted to photograph it, but the camera was loud, and I thought this would spoil this moment. But it would have been a pretty good photograph in my collection of photographs with the butter. But you can imagine it. Somebody can paint it. And then the butterfly flew off, and Prabhupada didn't change his expression, like, oh, look how great that is. But a few minutes later, he said, open the window so that butterfly can get something to eat. So we're trying to get the temple. And because now we're 25 people, and now the temple's ready, so we moved from John Lennon's estate into this five-story ex-Bible dispensary, perfect, and men on one floor, women on the other, temple room, and it was zoned for two people, two caretakers. So we were there illegally, and the man next door was complaining about our kirtan. He said that just singing in the morning is making my wife faint and my dog jump up and down. So we get all the ministers. We had the prime minister's solicitor. He had the fencing champion. And so, as I say, don't do this at home. But sometimes you have to be clever in your preaching. And our rationale was Krishna, because when he said Aswatthama the elephant is dead, to fool them, and he blew the conch shell, Aswatthama the moon is dead, they were devastated because they had a son named Aswatthama. So on that basis, This is what we did. The temple was supposed to be soundproof. The door had a window in it. So all these officials, Greater London Council, the fencing, the solicitor, Lord Goodman's solicitor, a lot of people, we had to borrow chairs from the Theosophical Society. They're all in the hall, and so we're chanting Hare Krishna with the door open, and as soon as the door closed, and the mridanga was going boom, 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 the door closed. And we're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the door closed. They say to him, we can't even hear it in the hall. How can you say it's going through the wall and your dog is jumping up and down and your wife is fainting? He says it's a bloody trick, and he goes to leave, and the doorknob comes out of his hand, and then the solicitor fencing guy lunges, beat, extend, lunge. Just when we're coming to the crunch, you leave. And he said, you're right, it's a bloody trick, and we said, we'll get the apartment. We'll just relocate him, and we'll move into his apartment, and no dogs will jump up and down, and no wives will faint. So they okayed us. It's really because of George. This one young, budding Clark, they call him Clarks in England, he comes and said, George Harrison's your guarantor. I threw all the complaints into the rubbish bin. All the complaints. So now we had this temple. Oh yeah, I forgot to say, when Mr. French clawed open the door, 25 sleeping bags came out. So George hears that we're trying to start a temple in Paris. Sam Ashund and I were talking, and we said, well, let's go help. And this is the Krishna consciousness. One time, we were in the Kumbh Mela, and one of the God Brothers was having trouble in Germany. And we were in India, and Prabhupada said, why has no one gone to help him? It was that simple. Not a matter of airfare, not a matter of logistics, because we started as a family. We were hungry to build, and we didn't have time for lawsuits. We were in Krishna Prem. We had no time to argue. We had to build for Prabhupada. So he said, so some people went. That's Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada turns to us and says, how do you know Krishna is God? I said, you told us. He said, they will just say I am old man. Somebody said, well, it says so in the Bhagavad Gita. They will just say it in the book. How do you know? He gives a wonderful proof. You know Krishna is God because of the ecstasy you feel. That's a proof. The ecstasies you feel. It's not like you get a gold star at the end of the day for doing 16 rounds. It's the ecstasy that keeps us. Whatever, intrinsic ecstasy, your talents used for Krishna. That's why so many people, all these years, I know them. They've stayed as my family 30, 40 years. The ecstasy you feel. And then Prabhupada said, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So, about 2 years later, I happened to be in Philadelphia, and we were on a morning walk, And when people walked with Prabhupada, they kind of like elbowed each other out to get closer to Prabhupada. But I didn't have to do that. I had so much association, I could just hang back. Or I would bring a tape recorder so I could be right next to him. But I'm hanging back there. He stops. Everybody bumps into one another like Keystone Cops. Boom, 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 Prabhupada. So careful not to hit Prabhupada. How do you know Krishna's God? Ooh. Well, somebody says, because you told us, Prabhupada. He says, they will just say I am old man. Nobody knew. I pipe up. I say, you know Krishna's God because of the ecstasy you feel, the proof of the puddings and the eating. And Prabhupada says, no, it's because the Bhagavad Gita says so. Now there's no contradiction in transcendental life, you see? Time, place, circumstance. So George hears this, saying, we want to go help the Paris temple, because that's what we were like back then. This has been established, let's just go and help out. So George says, I'll help, can I come? Sure, come on. So the three of us go to Paris, and we're in the Savoy, the big, big, big hotel, high ceilings, big Rococo gold in the corners, 10, 12-foot doors. George and Samashundar at the table with literature, press release, and my job was to keep two or three reporters only at a time. So, please come, two of you, and they come, then three, and I'm regulating. But they see, the doors open, and they see a beetle! And like a Mongolian horde, the reporters smashed the door, and I couldn't keep them back. So George is used to this, being rushed, and he sees them throwing table linens and things down the chute. So George jumps down the chute. So Samashundar jumps down the chute. I'm left alone. The reporters don't know what to do. Well, of course, I jump down the chute. There they are, going off in the car. And at the corner, they're surrounded. Boom, 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 young girls banging on the car. Oh, we forgot Gurudas. They come back. Get in. We go on that corner, surrounded, pounding the car. So I knew what it felt like to be a beetle for an evening. But actually, frankly, your kindness supersedes that. I had a birthday last week, and 4,500 people celebrated with me. So much love. And that's, you feel that in Krishna consciousness, all the religions. It boils down to love. And there's really, you see it all the time in Krishna consciousness. You do. I hope you do. I do. So we were so impressed with George as a person because he didn't have heirs. He had all this money. Most people who have money want power. That's why they become politicians. George was just simple, just wanting to learn. And we gave to him. We gave him books. We gave him... My job really was to preach to him. Samashundar went out and worked on his estate. I was president, so I had to stay back. And Mukunda did music. So we all had our functions. And the temple was becoming so nice. Some devotees came from Sweden, Leela Shakti, Mondakini, and Jyotirmayi, and I forget, but came from Paris. They really know how to work in France, I'm telling you, they're beautiful. We'd go out on Harinam three times a day. Trivikram Swami came. They were hassling us on Harinam. They were hassling us, they were bothering us. So here was the plan. I had Tamal Krishna's karmi, he had a karmi hat and a karmi coat. So I put it on and I was the photographer, and when the policemen stopped us, there were eight, nine, and two pairs of nine, and Mandakini and Jyotirmayi in the front. Mandakini was like Lord Chaitanya. She was always looking up in the clouds. She was not of this planet. I don't know if you know her, but she's always... So when the police stopped us, I had Tamal's karmi outfit and the camera, and I was behind the policeman. They went down on their knees like this, all 16. And I did the photograph. So it really looked like the police were harassing us. And we published it in the underground newspapers. So now they really didn't like us. So we had all these plans. We would do Harinam, but we'd know the one-way streets that the police vans couldn't get down, all this stuff. So they said, you're obstructing the traffic. And one night, Yogeshwar and I get arrested, put in jail. And the trial the next day. And they say, you're obstructing the traffic. And I said, where were we arrested? And he says, Shaftesbury Road. I said, Shaftesbury Road is on the way back to the temple. If the policeman was really trying to abate a problem, why did he do it on the way back to our temple? And the judge looks over his glasses, is this true, Officer Derek? Yes, it's true. But they had to get their 2 pence in. He said, but must you trundle on the footpath in your costumes? I said, these robes represent God like your robes represent the law. Quite. Case dismissed. And Prabhupada said of the temple that it's so nice, it's not artificial, you're the father, Jamuna's the mother, and it's a family. And then Prabhupada, in his transcendental scientific way, said, and the proof is that the men and women, one floor, are not mixing. They're so happy. But before we got a temple, I'm reminded, metaphysically, transcendentally, to tell a story about when we crashed the party at the Ambassador's. This now, Apu Pant came later. There was one SS Dewan, communist. We heard Ravi Shankar's at the party. He's an old friend. We met him first at Monterey. We were friends for many years. Ravi's here. Let's go crash the party because there might be some more important people there as well. We always wanted to meet important people because what great men do, others follow. So, I don't remember that we had suits on. You said we had suits on, but anyway, we went in this little Ford, red Ford pickup truck that Sam Mishinda had, open. So we're riding in cold on London, four of us in the back, And we go there, and there's a man announcing people. So we say, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Ravi sees us. Oh, so nice to see you again. And we talked. And he introduced us to the ambassador. And the ambassador brought us upstairs and asked us more questions. And so he said, can you come to dinner the day after tomorrow? And we said, yes. And we brought slides to show him and books. And even though he was a communist, he really liked us. Later on, he became governor of Bengal. He's living in this mansion that Gandhi was in at one time. It's beautiful. And he says, let's have a kirtan at this mansion. So they erected this stage, but it was very rickety. But he was our friend. Now there was a young debutante coming to the Calcutta temple at the time, so I wanted to make sure she was taken care of. She's on the stage. There was a minister of finance for Bengal, Mukherjee, that was a Gaudiya Vaishnav that we've been trying to meet, but we couldn't. And he's in the audience. So we do a rousing kirtan. I look over, where's the debutante? She had fallen under the stage. We call the ambulance. Cabinet Minister Mukherjee jumps up in ecstasy and has a heart attack. So that was a two ambulance kirtan that night. I mean, we've seen it all. We get our foundation from Hari Nam. This in London, I think I told this yesterday, missiles would come at me and hit this one guy. And he'd say, why? I see it coming towards you. He was a machine gunner in Vietnam. So I said, it's your karma. So the temple was so nice. Don and Jaya came, we went to Scotland, we did a television show again, they pulled out the dry ice. And I was told, I forgot, but I used to go right in the Brahmacharini quarters and read the Krishna book at night. It was like that. It's not gender specific. That's the way Prabhupada spoon-fed us, boys and girls, daughters and sons. And I don't know if I told the story, but I told it to somebody today. So if I told this, forgive me, but just to prove this point about gender not being the criteria. Prabhupada told me men and women are the same in the spiritual world. And Jamuna was the exemplifier of this. And so Madhavisa Swami is now a new sannyasi, like 1 or 2 weeks. So he doesn't want to think about women. He doesn't want to talk about women. He doesn't want to see women. And Prabhupada sends him and Jamuna to Jayapur to do some deity overseeing. Prabhupada sent him and Jamuna, new sannyasi. So he said, I put my danda in between us when we rode the rickshaw. But the rickshaw was small and Jamuna was becoming large and I couldn't help touching her. But after 2 days I saw what an exceptional devotee she is, that gender didn't matter. And we're going to honor Jamuna, and we had a nice marriage. We very rarely argued, and a lot of times we weren't even living together because she was in charge of something, I was in charge of something. It wasn't the normal grihastha life, if you know what I mean. How do you define normal? But great devotee from the beginning, from the beginning. And the nice thing is we were friends before we were devotees. It wasn't arranged. We had already known each other. She told me about the Swami. And I will talk more about her, but I just want to convey something she said about bhakti yoga. If you live it, you can give it. If you live it, you can give it. It's like a Gandhi thing. Your life is your message. It's like that. So now that we had known the Beatles, more and more people were coming. And George, I told George, you have no idea how many people have come because of you. And people tell me, yes, I'm a George Harrison fan. I came, and he goes and tells Prabhupada that I don't want to do any nonsense songs anymore, like Bebop Alula, She's My Baby. I want to do songs about Krishna. And here's a very interesting backstory that you might not know, but Frank Sinatra said something in the way she moves is the most beautiful love song ever. Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. George told me it was really a song to Krishna. But if I said something in the way he moves, they would think I was a poof. So the backstory is interesting. Also, my sweet Lord, I'm there with George, and I had a tape recorder on. I just put it on. And he's telling me, did you ever hear the song, She's So Fine? I said, yeah, the chiffons. Because I used to go to rock and roll shows at the Brooklyn Paramount. So, he said, they're saying I'm copying it, but it's really honorific, and there's not, and he placed me, my sweet Lord, and it really wasn't so much like it, but there was some plagiarism case going on. And then he's saying, hallelujah. And I said, of course you're going to sing Hare Krishna, right? And he, oh, yeah. So I don't know if, he probably would have. So I have this tape. And also Billy Preston helped because he wanted to know some gospel riffs. And so Billy Preston filled that in. So I was friends with this secretary at Apple, and I was so naive, devotee, you know, I don't have sometimes good business sense. Later on in Juhu, this Mr. Nira was teasing about the property, so Prabhupada says, Gurudas, go to Mr. Nair and ask him to give us the land. Because you get along with everyone. But wait, you don't have any business sense. Tamal, you go to Mr. Nair, you have business. No, but you don't get along with anyone. I have to do it. I have to, and he did. And I was at the signing. It was like Victorian age, everybody had powdered wigs, the pen had plumes, and Mr. Nair's wife was crying, apologizing for her husband, and he said, "Dear, dear, my girl, you are my daughter." And then we got the land. So I'm showing the secretary. Oops. Thank you, Gene. I'm showing the secretary this tape because she's my friend. I'm so naive. And George is saying, "She's so fine, lang, lang, lang." And she grabs, without even listening to the rest, she grabs the tape recorder. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm just chanting, okay. She went someplace. She comes back 5 minutes later. She said, "Here's your tape recorder, but we misplaced the tape someplace. They either destroyed it or put it in the vault or they confiscated it." But Hare Krishna. I chanted, okay. He lost the case anyway. It was honorific. How much is new anyway from the creation? It's just kind of molding it a little bit this way and then recycling it goes back 30 years. And so it was really a frivolous case. But this is the backstory. And George started, I don't know if you've ever heard, "Isn't it a pity?" How many people have heard that? It's compassion. And give me hope, give me love, that light in my, all the words. They compiled 19 devotional songs for me in Czech Republic, and there's more. I discover new ones. And even before, he was saying, the more you go, the less you know, the more you... He was philosophical from the beginning. That's the point. And because we piqued his imagination, we found that this is the trick for preaching. Listen, get an idea of who you're with, and then turn it into Krishna consciousness. Find the common ground. And everybody was wanting George to be spiritual, including his wife. But he took Krishna consciousness over all of them. And that's the idea. Do something new, ever fresh. And we gave to him. His songs are beautiful. And to prove it, John was a little bit of a bully. And he only would allow a few songs on the recordings. When they broke up, George came out with a double album. Double album already in place of wonderful songs. I don't know if you saw Living in the Material World, a Martin Scorsese film about George Harrison, and the whole second part is our relationship. But one of the funniest part of the films to me is this guy Phil Spector. This guy Phil Spector is in jail now. But he's a real pushy New York type. And he's interviewed, and he's talking about George and his great music. What I just said, he came out, he said, each song is better than the other. And then he said, "And George, I couldn't help liking the Krishnas with their white face and their bells. I couldn't help liking them." I just laughed because, you know, normally he would just dismiss us because of George's enthusiasm. "I couldn't help liking the Krishnas." So he was very special. His wife, first wife, Patty, she was very sweet, but she became disenchanted, pun intended, and because George was now chanting, he had this wonderful mansion called the Friars Park. First it was an inventor, Crisp's mansion, and he put Japanese gardens in it, a replica of Mount Matterhorn, underground caves. Then it became a monastery, and there were some things left over. But I remember, I didn't know why they had a friar surrounding a light switch. So you'd put the light switch with this friar there. Maybe George did it, because he still had that sense of humor like those dogs playing cards. He used to love Monty Python. We told him, Malty's living in a box. So he says, Monty Python, I was so poor I was living on the floor. Oh, you had a floor? I was so poor I was living in a box. Oh, you had a box? So he was very good, a dry, witty, non-vindictive sense of humor. And he liked me, you know. He shows us around this mansion and he says, this is the tennis court and I played tennis with John McEnroe. So I said, who won? Because John McEnroe is a champion, so. And this, George did his own gardening. I mean, he had help, but like Prince Charles, he said, one of the joys of the day is to patrol my garden. And Prabhupada told me on that estate, no, John Lennon's estate, study nature. It's the highest manifestation of Krishna consciousness because it's not phony. It could be brutal, it could be nourishing. Prabhupada was always showing on the morning walks. In San Francisco, we stop under a tree, there's some bird droppings. Prabhupada says, especially looking at Upendra, who was very shy, what's the meaning of this? Upendra starts to turn red, embarrassed. He gains his composure and says, well, the positioning of these bird droppings is like tea leaves in the cup. Prabhupada said, no. It means, yeah, no, we would throw all, I remember Vishnujanan said, I see this pink glow around the food, and Prabhupada said, just eat. Prabhupada was new age, but in a different way. He was very open-minded. So what was I talking about? Oh yeah, thank you. So he said, he counts them. There's 14. He says, this bard, he pronounced bard, Bengali, this bard has lived in the tree for 2 weeks. Scientific. We went to this lawyers conference in Amritsar and he pronounced it liars. Oh yes, I have to address these liars. I said, yes, Prabhupada. They are liars. Why does a shark not bite a lawyer? Right. Professional courtesy. So Prabhupada, you know, he didn't come at first, but then he comes to England and we're living on John Lennon's estate and he says, they said, why have you come here, Swamiji? And he says, I've come to teach what you've forgotten, love of God. And then we're on the television. Lots of them. This one doctor in Mumbai, we're in India a little bit later, and he says, oh, I have seen you on television in London. And now you're in my clinic, isn't it a small world? Small world. Prabhupada says, yes, it's insignificant. You see, the transcendental plane and the mundane plane is different. So now we set up programs for Prabhupada. We were finally registered as a society. We had people in our corner from the Indian community. We had a temple like an upside down ship. But we didn't have any deities. So, we used to do programs at this place called the Hindu Center. We did it all over. Acacia House with Swami Satchidananda. We did lots of programs, presentations. So one of our favorite places was the Hindu Center. So this Mr. Goyal actually told us that he had some deities and that there was a finger broken and that he was considering giving to us, but really what he wanted was some money. Same thing with the Maharaj of Bharatpur. I'm going to talk about him. Somebody said, be sure you talk about the Maharaj of Bharatpur. But I'll give you a precursor. He sent us a golden jewel and silver gold on a jeep. He's a life member. We're cultivating and we're trying to get his palace. I'll talk about it later. But he sends the jewel back on his jeep. No, send it to us as a gift for only 60,000 rupees. So in Greece and other countries, it's an insult to not accept a gift. I would have accepted it. I learned from India. You don't say no, but you do know. It's like yes, yes, no. India absorbed thousands of invaders by kindness. They disarmed their invaders by offering a straw mat and a glass of water. And by kindness, the enemies have left, or maybe because of dysentery. So the Maharaj of Bharatpur sends us this jewelin. And Achyutananda, he had a temper on him. He sends it back, and the Maharaj gets angry. I'll tell you about it tomorrow. He could really get angry. He gets angry, and he tried to tear up his life membership card, but it was laminated in plastic. So he cuts it in four pieces and sends it back on his jeep. And Prabhupada told us to make friends with this. I'll tell about it, but so we go to the, I didn't go because Prabhupada said, stay back and get the temple ready. Clean the temple. And Tamal and Dhananjaya Strong people went in our Krishna van. And Mr. Goyal is beating around the bush, kind of wanting some bhakshi, wanting some money. Maybe. And Prabhupada says, Tamal, see how heavy they are. And Tamal picks it up. And he says, no, take it to the van. And Mr. Goyal's sitting there. Krishna, Londoneshwara, gone. Prabhupada runs, gets everybody to go. Mr. Goyal's not knowing what to do. It's too fast. It's too strange. The Swamiji's transcendental. They go in the van, drive. Prabhupada speeds. 2 weeks, two blocks later, he stops the van. He bows down. He's crying. And London is swara. So compassionate. Like Prabhupada. Prabhupada, people used to say, administers, ISKCON administrators. Well, Prabhupada gets angry. But I said Prabhupada gets compassionate. And I saw him get compassionate many times more than getting angry. He got angry at me a few times, but they were like caresses. They happened in India when I could take it, and I'm going to be talking about India and Krishna Balaram Temple tomorrow, I think. Maybe we'll start today. So London Ishwara. And the temple is so nice. Now there's more people. People are coming in droves and the love feasts. This one boy though. We would have the talk and then the feast. So this one boy blatantly would show up just after the talk to get the feast. He was blatant about it. So I'm temple president. So just like on Top of the Pops, I said, come on, let's go. Everybody starts packing up their instruments. They didn't care. We weren't doing it for fame. So I kind of had a teasing relationship with this boy. So I said, this week we're going to have the feast first and then the lecture. So he comes in, and everybody's washing their hands, and said, oh, that was really Pukka Prashadam. And he's going, and they're sitting down, and he couldn't leave, and he had to listen to the lecture, which I made palatable. And I stopped, and I said, by the way, I saw blatantly that you were coming every week just for the feast. I wanted you to get a little bit of our transcendental philosophy feast. But I did save you a big plate of prasadam for after the talk. So then he felt a little bit better. And Samashunda, sometimes he would build things really heavy. In actuality, the first Rath Yatra car was too heavy and higher than the wires that were leading to Marble Arch. So we had to carry Lord Jagannath Subhadra Balaram on a palanquin to Trafalgar Square, leaving this super heavy car. And so the altar was very heavy. And it's inauguration day, and Simashinda built this Vyasathan that looked something like out of Alice in Wonderland. It looked like a mushroom. So, and there's the fires billowing in there, and the temple's too small for the crowd. It's inauguration day, and Prabhupada and I are behind the curtain, getting the altar ready. Jamuna's bringing stuff. The altar starts to collapse. Prabhupada's holding it up, his eyes blazing. Strong, like when he held up baby Saraswati saying, what kind, they will say, what kind of sannyasi am I? And he held her up with one hand. He's strong. And he liked to get massaged. No love pats. Strong. Boom, boom. And we're holding it in. And I'm holding it up and saying, Dhananjaya, come. And we had to get people. Sam Mashinda comes. So while the inauguration's going, we're fixing the altar. And the inauguration of this was not fraught with smoothness either, at some points. And Prabhupada's room, we shellacked the table. We were hoping it would dry so his elbows wouldn't stick on it. He came in and it just dried. But, you know, we got to get it ready for Prabhupada. And one, somebody was saying something about Palika and Vishaka and Jamuna and Madri, and Prabhupada said, if you had one-tenth of their devotion, you'd be great devotees. The same person tattled on a person to become temple president. He said, the temple president isn't chanting his rounds. Tattling. Prabhupada hated it. I saw. I'll tell you another tattling story. Prabhupada said, how do you know he's not chanting his rounds? Well, the temple president told me. Then he should be temple president because he's honest. Another person, I sold books to the hippies from Hawaii who later became devotees. But I was told on, and in New York, and then they told me to the temple president, and he goes and tells Prabhupada, Gurudas sold books and cartels and mudangas to those hippies from Hawaii. Prabhupada calls me in, did you sell mudangas, cartels and books to those people? Yes. They're reading my books? They're chanting Hare Krishna? He didn't like pettiness. He was the utmost gentleman. Besides being transcendental Jagat Guru, these qualities. So the altar's falling down. We had to tie it up right there. The same thing. Krishna, George gave us that Bhaktivedanta Manor, Pigott's Manor. 1 pound a year. He gave it to us. Now, by that time, this story is secondhand because I was sent to Mother India. I always wanted to come. So I heard this story secondhand. This woman who sold Bhaktivedanta Manor, Pigott's Manor to us, took everything out of it. It was just the building. She took lamps and staircase ornaments and everything, just ripping it out, infrastructure, real cheap. She was from Scotland, and that doesn't mean that, but she happened to be. I'm not being but for some reason, not me, anyway, whatever. So, everything was taken out. So there's sawdust in the air, so when we started the Abhishek, it caught fire. So fire brigade comes. During the Abhishek, they had to put out the fire. We're still, okay. So they put out the fire, they go around the building and they're looking in the window and they see us starting the fire again with the Abhishek. They thought, these people are crazy. We just put out the fire and now they're starting it again. So, you know, a lot of people, if you don't dig deep, a little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep where taste not of the eternal spring. So you got to delve deep, not just the surface of Krishna consciousness, then you'll get it like George did. So the altar's falling down. We're repairing it. It turned into a glorious inauguration. And Prabhupada made a tape before he came to our board of directors. It was very nice. And so now Prabhupada told us about Jagannath Festival, and as I said, the first one, we had to leave the cart. So the second one, we're building the cart, but this time, instead of Sam Ashunda building, heading the building, we called in Vishwakarma Narayan. And if you know him, he's outrageous. His father used to turn his car on the side with him and his little brother, Mukunlal. And he says, Gurudas, you're the one who brought me to Krishna consciousness. And I said, please don't advertise that. He's got what? How many? Four wives? Seven wives. Hundreds of, he's got a whole tribe of children. The regular assistant, to just show you, the regular assistant of who massaged Prabhupada, Prabhupada liked strong people. I massaged him. He said, anybody can rub oils. Go out and preach. He treated himself like a piece of furniture. Anybody can rub oil. So no one was there. So they said, Narayan, you're strong. Please get ready to massage Prabhupada. So Shuli knows. I don't know. He might be the only one, but you can tell, he says, these coarse hands cannot touch the beloved transcendental golden super corpulent form of the spiritual master Jagat Guru. He's going on like that. We're pushing him in the shower. Just get ready. We hear him in the shower. I can't do it. I'm not qualified. In the water. Prabhupada's waiting. The mustard oil's there. Sometimes Prabhupada would say something like, move that mustard oil, and if the person didn't, sure enough, it popped over. So the mustard oil's ready. Prabhupada's washed. He's ready. He's waiting. Still waiting. Finally, Narayan says, I'm ready, Srila Prabhupada! I'm ready! Okay, so he's put in charge of the Ratha Yatra. So now the officials are coming and they're trying to stop it. And they all thought we were Mukunda, Mr. Grant, because we looked alike. Mr. Grant, because Mukunda did a lot of the legal stuff. So in Narayan's words, he says, this official comes up to me and says, Mr. Grant, we can't let this card go. And he looked like a Pekingese dog with a nose made for punching. That's what he looked like, a Pekingese dog with a nose made for punching. He's a character. And you see, Prabhupada attracted all these, like Krishna. He had a special relationship with these outrageous characters. So, moi. So, Chaitra Guru enters Narayan's heart, and he says, give it a sporting chance, which appealed to the English psyche. They said, quite. So they laid out a route. It was a hard route. But the police even helped push it. Oh, speaking of pushing it, Mukunda and I pushed the cart with Sam Ashunda pulling it with the red truck from Balham to London. And last time I was in London, I was invited to Balham in the car, and I'm thinking, it was like 40 minutes away from the center of London. I'm thinking, did we do this? And Sam Ashinda said, steam from our breaths were coming up over the Rathiyata car. So these are the kind of things you do for Prabhupada. You just do it, you know? How did you do it? Well, you want to see Prabhupada smile. That's why. You want to please him. And when you're young, you can just do anything. So they're pushing the car. It makes it. It passes the test. Narayan jumps off the car next to the Pekingese dog official with nose made for punching and says, "Isn't God great? Sava Kama Kamala Burina." In the official's ear, and he's going, Narayan says, and Nrisimha entered his heart. He was scared. So it was glorious. And then we put on the play Megrahi the Hunter, and I remember we had this styrofoam majunga, and Tamal was there going, "Oh no," and I made a film of it, Prabhupada's lotus feet. Whenever I either photographed or filmed Prabhupada's lotus feet, it would always come out fuzzy. Because I was such ecstasy and I was jumping up and down with the camera. He danced at this place, Conway Hall. It was one of the nicest series of programs. Prabhupada has asked me, make some titles. So I made titles, the meaning of the Vedas, and we had about six nights in a very nice venue. Charles Darwin spoke there. Not at the same time. Prabhupada loved it, a different topic, and Saraswati would go into the audience and she would get people to dance, and we were on stage, and the picture and the masthead of Back to Godhead with Prabhupada going like that is from that series of programs, Conway Hall. He loved it. And I remember the chauffeur that took Prabhupada in every day, he said, "Did you do good tonight, Swamiji?" Also, on John Lennon's estate was this wonderful gardener. Prabhupada always respected elders. He respected elders. And so there was this Frank the gardener, really nice, but Frank had ghosts, so we all went down there, and Prabhupada said, "Chant loudly, blow conch shells," and Prabhupada said, "The ghosts have gone." And so Frank was a good friend of Prabhupada. So this was right in Trafalgar Square, glorious Rathiyatra. London was successful. And so it was time to ask us to go to India. I had always wanted to go to India, especially right here. I mentioned last night, I had mentioned that I read Paramahansa Yogananda's autobiography of a yogi and the chapter about Vrindavan testing the faith of the brother, the chapter about Vrindavan stood out. And so I always wanted to go. And now London was successful. George gave us the manor. We needed it because everything was so big. We went out on Hari Nam all the time. I was the temple president, but I really stunk at book distribution. Because I would speak to somebody for half a day to make sure they'd really take the book and want to read it. I didn't flim-flam them. Prabhupada said, if we have to cajole someone to be a devotee, they'll go away. Easily learned, easily forgotten. Hard learned, hard to forget. So I would go out and speak to somebody, and I had a side business of selling photographs. So I would take the money from the Bodo photographs and buy back the Godheads and, give it. So they think I was a good distributor, but actually I had to buy them from the photography money. So London was successful. And Prabhupada was living there in the house. And I mentioned this yesterday, but it's a good story. Samashinda tried to stall to get Prabhupada to stay in San Francisco by slowing the carving of the Jagannath deities. Now, under Prabhupada's room, he was hammering, and he said, Prabhupada, do you want me to stop hammering? Is the hammering disturbing you, the noise? And Prabhupada said, no. When I hear you're hammering, I know you're working. You never know what he was going to say, just like it's a small world. You know, he was just not of this planet. And yet he was so practical and so approachable. And like I say, he pleased each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. So it was time to pass the baton. So we were going to come to India. Dhananjaya was going to be president. As I said, Bhaktivedanta Manor was now there. Berry Place was a family. More and more devotees were coming. Many, many, many. We needed a bigger place. Just like here, we needed a bigger place. And Prabhupada had talked to me periodically about going to India. And even back when we were searching, we always wanted to go to India. We thought things that came from India were spiritual. And it's true, some of it, but he said, yes, now it's time to go to India. But also, before I left, I used to do research in the India Office Library and the British Museum Library, and I found some of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Purohit there. I found some of Bhakti Siddhanta. I found the harmonist, and I came upon a harmonist. And there in the harmonist was a poem by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I brought it to him. And he was so happy. He was so happy that I had found this in the British Museum. And if I didn't do anything else for Prabhupada, finding this poem and making him so happy was such an award. Adore, adore ye all the happy day, blessed than heaven and sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelical angel, give us this, thy light, lit up thy candle, struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, your divine grace. Misled we are, all going astray, save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wonder thy ways to turn our face, adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, pain most heavy, the illusion's toll, darkness around, all the stress, the only hope, your divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a meaningful life as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it is full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, in personal calamity thou hast removed, this gives us a life, a new and fresh, worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told? The message of Krishna, forceful and bold, that's your right, you have the mace, save me the fallen, your divine grace. The line of service is drawn by you, it's pleasing and healthy as morning dew. The oldest of all, but in a new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. And that last, it's pleasing and healthy as morning dew. Prabhupada's saying, do something new, be a muni, make it ever fresh. That's what Prabhupada did. We never knew what adventure he'd take us on. We never knew what he was going to ask us to do. Remind me to tell you tomorrow about the American ambassador. And you can also take on the spirit. The spirit, number one, of Das Anudas. That's a alternative in the world. It can save the world when people see us. You want to see this person succeed as well as yourself. We want to see each other succeed. Das Anudas. Really, Prabhupada said on the train, if I call you Prabhu when you think you're Prabhu, that's not the meaning. And Krishna conscious, ever fresh, find your talents, use them for Krishna. Use them for Krishna because Krishna has given you this. And if you use your talents, then you won't become jaded, just like I always photograph. Thank you very much. This is the same finger that photographed Prabhupada, so it's all right. That's what Prabhupada offered. And if we want to please Prabhupada, take up the spirit of Krishna consciousness ever new, every day. And so tomorrow we shall talk about coming to this beloved land of India. Thank you very much.